The gospel going out is a good thing, isn't it? To be able to hear about these people this summer that have trusted Christ as their Savior is a great thing. And I'm not going to be able to be here with y'all the night that you hear a report from our missions trip to Arizona. So I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my experience in Arizona. Now, the back of our t-shirts had 32 names of people that went to Arizona. This is my little friend that came with me. His name is Wispin Paul. And I bring him before you today because this guy, unknowingly to me, helped me do something very special in a couple of different occasions. Now, he came with me because he was given to me for my birthday, and I started taking pictures of him in different places, which is kind of fun, just know him roaming around. And so he came with me to the Grand Canyon, because what better place to take pictures of a fun little gnome than at the Grand Canyon and the Navajo Reservation? But as you can imagine, if you're walking around carrying a little gnome, people ask you about it. I mean, it's apparently not very normal. But this little guy right here gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with many different people. And I thought, you know, God gives us a lot of different ways to be able to share the gospel, ministry tools, and some of them we might not be expecting. But this little guy's a little random. But at the Grand Canyon and walking around, and I would be taking pictures with him, and people would ask me about him. And once they started talking to me, then it gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And they felt obligated to listen because they were the ones that walked up to me. So it worked out really well. But one special story, I was taking a picture of him in the airplane after everyone had left. And the pilot said, "Hey, do you want a picture of him in the cockpit?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And so as he placed him in the cockpit, I began to talk to him, and I got to share the gospel with the pilot of the plane that flew us there. And many different people at the Grand Canyon and a lot of different things. So, you know, he's fun. He's fun to have, take around, to take pictures of. So don't be surprised when God takes something that you're enjoying or that you're doing and gives you the chance to share his word through that. And don't be afraid to take the chances to do that, you know. I could have said, like, "Oh yeah, this is my gnome," and kept walking. But thankfully, God made my brain work and I made my mouth talk. And we were able to share the gospel with those people through that. But that's just a little bit of my story in Arizona. But the reason that we went to Arizona was to share the story of Jesus. And so that's what I would like to share with you tonight. I'd just like to tell you the story of Jesus, because it's the greatest story that's ever been told. Now, how does any good story start? Or nowadays, it's usually a movie is how we hear a story versus in a book. So you put the DVD in the DVD player and you go to the menu and you hit play. And what's the first thing that happens? Screen goes black, right? But you know something's about to happen. And this story starts with more than a black screen. It starts with nothing. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God was the only thing that was in the beginning. And the Bible says that He created the earth without form or comeliness, and then He created light. And He created the earth and the waters, and He separated the firmament from the water, and He created animals and plants and all of these great things. And He showed His power through His Word, because without Him was not anything made that was made, but God made it. And on the sixth day, the Bible said that He created man. He said, "Let us make man in our own image." Us make man. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there at the beginning. So that's the beginning of the story of Jesus. And He created man in His own image, and He put him on the earth, and He said, "It is good." And everything was good for a little while, and then man had to screw it up, just like each and every one of us have done. We did sin. The Bible says that by Adam, sin passed into all man, and death by sin entered into the world. And we don't hear that much about Jesus for a little while. God the Father is the one that we hear about, the God of judgment, and many amazing things happen in the Old Testament. There was the children of Israel and the ark and the flood and the judgment of the world. And then we go on and on. And then in the book of Matthew and Luke, we begin to hear a little bit more about Jesus. We hear about His birth. Jesus' birth. It was an amazing thing. The Bible says that an angel appeared to Mary, and Mary was a virgin. And he told her that she was going to have a child. Now, that's something that I seem to skim over sometime. Mary never knew a man. That is a miracle. That can't happen. But it happened with Jesus, because Jesus wasn't any other person. Jesus was the Son of God, literally. He was born of God and of the Virgin Mary. He was special. He was beyond anything else. Mary was favored among women. And He was born under some interesting circumstances. The census was coming. You all have heard the story. And Mary was on the donkey and they went in and he was born in a stable. Now, there's probably, how many people in here? There's about that many different opinions on what the stable was. But we can agree that he was born in a stable and there was a manger there. And Jesus was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was placed in a manger, in a feeding trough. The King of Kings, the Son of God, came to this earth and was born in a manger. Now, God was his father, and he made sure that people knew that this was the Son of God. He came to the people that maybe weren't looking, and some of the people that were looking. He came to the shepherds, and the angels appeared, and Jesus had a choir pronouncing his birth that said that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and good and will toward men. These angels sang and proclaimed God's birth, and these shepherds knew that this was the Son of God because they had seen evidence that couldn't show anything but that. But there were people all over the world that saw that this was the Son of God. The Bible says that men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These were the wise men. And they came because they were looking for Christ. They were looking for that star. And you know what? I want to ask you tonight, are you looking for Jesus or have you already found him? See, Jesus' story definitely doesn't stop when he was born. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature of God and man. And I've grown in stature. I don't know about wisdom, but I'm working on it. But he grew in favor with God and man. How amazing is that? That he was different from other people and that he was just special. He grew in favor with God and man. And some exciting stuff happened to him when he was little. See, the King Herod was decreed that everyone should be killed under the age of 2 years old. So Jesus went on his first journey, his first big trip. It wasn't to Disney World like some of you might have been, but it was to Egypt. And went off to Egypt and then he came back. And we don't hear much about him for a little while. But then when he was 12 years old, his parents were going into Jerusalem and they were going for the special celebration and they're on their way back and they lose him. Where's Jesus? Where is the King of Kings? Where's the Lord of Lords? I don't know. I thought you had him. Well, this is a problem, isn't it? So they went back and they finally found him and they found him in the temple. And the Bible says that he was there with the chief priests and the scribes, and everyone that heard him was amazed at his wisdom and understanding. This wasn't just another 12-year-old. This was Jesus. This was Jesus. And he said something then that's amazing. He said, "Wist not that I would be about my Father's business." He said then whose son he was. He wasn't afraid to say it. He wasn't hiding. He was the Son of God. And he told him, he said, "I'm doing what my Father wants me to do. That's what I came here for." What he came here for was to do his Father's work. And we're going to find out exactly what his Father's work was for him to do. But Jesus grew and he became older and he started what we call his public ministry. And this first miracle. Now, miracle. I mentioned that word before. But let us take a minute to think about what a miracle is. A miracle is something that only God can do. I can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can do it. There's no other explanation for a miracle. That's it. God did it. And Jesus started with turning water into wine. Now, I have a cup of water right here, but it's not turning into wine. I can put it in my mouth, spit it back out, pour it on the floor, sweep it back into the cup. Whatever I do, it's not going to be wine because I can't do that. But Jesus wasn't me, and Jesus wasn't you. Jesus was the Son of God, and so he could do miracles. And the Bible says that he turned water into wine. It says that he healed lame men. It says that he made the blind to see, and the lame to walk. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you were born in here tonight. You were born? Okay, good. I was hoping that most of you would raise your hands anyway. And we were born, and we weren't born knowing how to walk. We had to learn how to walk. So these people in the scripture, God didn't just heal their muscles to where they could walk, but he taught them how to walk all at one time. These people that had never walked in their entire life, he made them so they could walk and they stood up and they leaped and bounded with joy because the Lord had healed them and even taught them how to walk. He did miracles. He proved that he was the Son of God and that no one else was like him. And Jesus, he said that he was the Son of God, but his Father also told that he was the Son of God. The Bible says that Jesus was walking up and John the Baptist was baptizing, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." And he took Jesus, and the Bible tells us that Jesus was baptized, and then the firmaments opened, and what? The Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And he came down and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was the Son of God, and he was special. Now, he was special because he was the Son of God, but also he came down to this earth, and he wasn't born of Adam, and he wasn't born of man, so he never sinned. Jesus was the sinless Son of God. Each and every one of you in here have sinned. I have sinned. We have done wrong things, and the Bible tells us that the punishment for our sin is to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. We deserve death. Jesus didn't deserve death. Because he'd never done anything wrong. He was Jesus. He was perfect. And he was the Son of God. But he grew, and people seemed to realize this. And all of his disciples were very excited. At one point he went, and the Bible says that he rode on the foal of an ass into Jerusalem. And they laid down coats before him and palm branches. And they said, "Hosanna." Because Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. They were praising him as king. It seemed that people would realize that this was the King of Kings. But things didn't stay quite that happy very long. The Bible tells us that Jesus had 12 disciples that were with him, and that he taught things and they helped him to teach and did all kinds of amazing things with him. And one of them, his name was Judas Iscariot. And he was he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He saw that the things of this world were enticing, and he saw that silver and he thought, "Hey, I'd rather have that than Jesus. I would rather have this money in this world than Jesus. I mean, what can he do for me anyways?" I think later he realized what Jesus could have done for him and what he did do for him, but I don't believe that he accepted it. But Judas betrayed Jesus, and he was taken into captivity. And I don't know how many of you in here have ever watched the news, but trials nowadays take forever. It's like, oh, this person was convicted of murder. 40 years later, they still haven't decided what to do with him yet. Jesus, they knew what they wanted to do with him, and so they decided fast. They brought him in, and he was unjustly treated. He was unjustly tried, and they had people come in and lie and say that he'd done wrong, because no one could say that he'd done wrong telling the truth, because he hadn't, because he was perfect. And then the Jews themselves, they didn't have the authority to crucify Jesus because they were under the government of the Romans. So they brought him before Pilate. And Pilate asked him who it was, and at one point Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to set you free?" And Jesus said something that I think is amazing. He said, "You wouldn't have any power unless my Father had given it to you." Because he was the Son of God, he had more power than anyone in that area. He had many more power than anyone on the earth. And Jesus went, and he was bruised for our iniquities. And he was chastised for the wrong things that we've done. And it wasn't really something that he particularly wanted to do. The Bible tells us that he said, when he was in the garden, he said, "If this can pass from me, if there's any way that this cup can go somewhere else," he said, "let that be done. But needless to say, let your will be done." Because he was willing to do the will of the Father because he loved him. And you know what? Because he loved you. And so Jesus did. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, which is, according to scholars, not me, they say that that's probably the first time that the gospel of Christ dying was written down on paper. And the first time that it was written down on paper, exactly what he did, the earliest record, it said exactly why he died. Christ died for our sins. He didn't die for his sins, he died for our sins. And he was buried. And this is the greatest part of the story, in my opinion. See, Jesus was the Son of God. He did miracles. He did amazing things. And then he died. If that were the end of the story, it would be useless. But the Bible says that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus came back to life. And he didn't just come back to life in the fact that his body was gone from the tomb. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene and some of the people with her came early in the morning, and they came to the tomb and it was empty. And they saw that the clothes were folded up one place and the napkin the other, and they didn't know what to do. They were scared, so they ran back and they got Peter and John, and they ran to the tomb. And the Bible says that they knew not the Scripture, so they didn't know why Jesus wasn't there. They didn't know that he had been risen from the dead because they weren't looking. because they hadn't been ready for him. And you know what? The disciples were gathered together in a room one night. There were 10 of them. And Jesus appeared to them. And they saw the nail marks in his hands and in his side. And they realized that Jesus was risen from the dead. This Son of God really was the Son of God. And he paid for their sins. On the cross he said, "It is finished." Our sins were paid for. And he came back to life. And one of the disciples didn't believe, Thomas. And they came to Thomas and he said, "I won't believe unless I put my fingers in his hands and I put my hand in his side." Well, Jesus appeared again. And Thomas was there, and I don't think he got his hands to his side. The Bible says that he fell down on his face and he worshiped God because this man was Jesus. He was the Son of God, and he was beyond anything else that we can imagine or see. And Jesus appeared to over 500 people, and he was on this earth for 40 days, proving that it wasn't just a body that was missing. It was a body that came back to life. Because he was different from anything else that ever was and ever will be. And Jesus was with his disciples and he started to ascend up into heaven. And the disciples were standing there and they're looking and they see him go up and they watch. And they're just standing there looking up. And the angels come back down and they say, "What are you doing looking here?" He said, "He'll come again in the same way that he left. He'll come again in the clouds." The countdown's getting lower every day. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. Call upon the Savior while you may. 3 and 2, coming through the clouds in bright array. The countdown's getting lower every day. See, some people say this story of Jesus doesn't matter. This story happened 2,000 years ago, but I'm here tonight to tell you that this story's still going on. Jesus came, he was at the very beginning, before there was anything. When the play button was pressed and there was darkness, he was there. He hit the play button. And he came to this earth and he lived a sinless, perfect life for you. He died for our sins. And he rose again. And the Bible says that he went up into heaven and he said this in John 14:3. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The story of Jesus isn't over. So let me ask you, are you like the wise men? Are you looking for Jesus to come back? Are you excited or do you not know? Well, I can tell you, you can't be like Peter and John now because I've told you, Jesus is coming back. And he gave us a few commands to do. Things to do, things that we should do, and those are things that we should obey. And we should be ready when Christ comes back. Because he cared about us enough to send Jesus. Let's thank him for the story of Jesus tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity that we had to come together and because of Jesus, bring our prayers before you to come into the very throne room of God and mention our humble estate, our humble problems. Lord, thank you so much that you loved us enough to send your one and only Son, Jesus, to come to this earth, to be the Son of God, to do miracles, things that only he could do, and to shed his blood for our sins, for my sins. Lord, I thank you that I can be saved today through that. I thank you that you're coming again to receive me unto you, and to receive each and every one of us that have trusted you as your Savior tonight. Lord, I pray that if there are any that have not trusted you as your Savior tonight, that they would realize that the story of Jesus is real and relevant to every one of our lives. I pray all this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.